Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Are you ready?
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line. I am Roy Burton. Alongside me, as always, my tag team partner and a man who I believe uses a washcloth in the shower, like a lot of people do. One, Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing as always, as we say during this pandemic, this air quote Saturday morning, sir?
There are many conversations we'll have on this show. I don't think that conversation will be one that we elaborate on.
No, we will not. For those of you who would like some background information, please check the Green Light Pod with Chris Long, and please check recent episodes of Inside the NBA on TNT and the Steam Room, also, I should say, with Ernie and Charles Barkley on the TNT, whatever their podcast network is called. But that being said, we have plenty of stuff to talk about, serious things to talk about.
It is draft week, baby.
It's that time, baby.
It's the draft week. And even though I, like, according to a general manager, quote unquote, this draft sucks. once it gets close, man, you like, and I think, I mean, the Eagles fans should be excited or like anxious or whatever, because Eagles have two picks. How often do the Eagles have two first round picks in a draft?
Yeah, it's very, very rare that the Eagles have two first round picks, and it's even extraordinarily rare that one of those first round picks is a top 10 pick. Now, of course, this will air after the first and second days of the NFL draft. So we are using our powers of prognostication to predict what has happened already in the draft. So using the powers of radio, the magical powers of radio, we were going back in the past before all this happened. But we have a lot to talk about. We were giving you our thoughts on what we think the Eagles did on Thursday. And hopefully, you know, we are proven right when it comes to this kind of stuff. But I, for one, I'm kind of glad that we're at this point, because it's been a long, it didn't feel this long until like a month ago.
John Robinson.
Yes, the John Robinson talk has kind of infiltrated everyone's head over the last few weeks, and they can't get past that. So we will talk Eagles, we will talk Bijan Robinson, but we will also talk another draft as well, because a very important draft is also coming up this weekend, and that is the WWE draft, the draft they have every now and then when they decide to shake things up in WWE. So we will talk about that. Again, the first part of that draft has already taken place, but the second part will take place this Monday. And speaking of the WWE draft, we are doing our own version here on the show. We have put together our own big boards, and of course the WWE is very, you know, specific and deliberate when they do their draft, but we're doing our own little draft. We're imagining two separate and independent brands here on the Broad Street Line. So we will.
This is our universal mode.
Yes, this is our 2K23 universal mode here on the Broad Street Line. We are putting together a roster of superstars for our brands, and we will compete against each other virtually, at least for today, when it comes to the draft. So we will do that later in the show. And of course, we have some basketball news to talk about as well. I titled the name of the show I said a broken clock. No, I'm sorry. What did I call the show? Basically, it was in reference to Joel Embiid being hurt once again during a playoff run, because we have seen that in the past. And once again, that has reared its ugly head in a year where it seems like the Sixers have a easier than usual shot at making a run to the NBA Finals. But a lot of stuff to get to this edition of the show. So as we always say, sit back, relax, take a ride on the Broad Street Line. The future Sports Talk Radio has finally arrived. Any shout out, sir?
No, let's just say the usual thank yous.
Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in here, whether it's on 106.5 FM, WPPM LP Philadelphia, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, YouTube Music, Spotify. Just do a search for the Broad Street Line, download us to your phone, your computer, your iPad, your MP3-enabled device. Listen to us at home. Take us with you on the go. Again, we are a very, very accessible show, 24/7, 365. And speaking of accessible, you can also follow us on Twitter. He is at SKD215. I am at the BS Line. I would be lying to you if either one of us tweets about anything else other than the draft all weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you know, probably looking at the early 2024 mock drafts on Sunday.
There's never, it is never too early.
Never.
And like what round do you usually go, you know what, let me just change the 3 into a 4?
What do you mean?
Like, what round of the 2023 draft do you decide, you know what, I'm done with this draft. Let me change the 3 into the 4 in my Google search engine and look for 2024 mock draft.
Oh, no. I let it ride out, man. You know, like, especially, I'll take that back. When the Eagles make their last pick and are traded out of their last spot, like, when the Eagles are done, like, the Eagles, if Howie says, you know what, let me package up these, like, 3 7s for, like, 2 6s.
Now, do you look for grades first before you look for the 2024 mock draft? Or, like, I don't know, like
oh, that's
what?
Good point. That's good.
Like,
point.
What should you look for first? Grades? Because we all love, no, I'm telling you. Human beings in general like grading things and drafting things. I swear it could be a draft of hoagies or cheesesteaks. It don't mean anything. We like drafting
lists and grades and drafts. You can make like
and countdowns.
Bleacher Report made $1 billion off of lists and mocks, drafts and grades and things like that. Like it's the easiest thing to do and people eat it up. Like how many mock drafts have we seen over the past 3 weeks? Like everybody has had every single iteration. I saw one outlet. They did a different mock draft every single day. It's like, this is not necessary. It really isn't.
No, but more importantly, people read them. No, I'm telling you, it's like it's almost like that. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the word. Like, I don't know. You know how like supermarkets put like, I don't know, like candy right next to the register. Right. It's like that kind of like, I don't know, subconscious. Like, I don't know. If you see a list of anything, it could be anything. It could be top J. Cole songs. If you are so inclined, like, I don't know. I'm telling you if there's something in your mind that will kind of trigger if you see any sort of list, and it's no different than mock drafts. Like, I don't know. It will say, oh man, this one's trash. Oh man. Like, I don't know. What are you doing? Like, I don't know. Oh, Bijan Robinson. No, it is an immediate discussion point.
Yeah. While we were doing prep for the show, I was last night, I was looking through mock drafts just to kind of get a feel for like, all right, what are teams going to do in each spot? And then as soon as I opened up a mock draft and I saw one trash pick that I like really disagree with, I was like, you know, this whole draft is trash. So I went through like 10 or 11 articles until I found one that actually like I thought was decent. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just buying into all this stuff. Like, I'm that person they wrote these mock drafts for, because I've opened every single one of these and I read every single one of these, and you already got my eyeballs and the advertising dollars off of me. And it's like, you know what? I don't even like your content, but you got me.
ESPN, like, ESPN is looking to chop talent. No, but in terms of draft content, nah. Let's bring on more bulls.
Content. Here's the money.
I mean it really is just allocating resources. I mean, before it was literally just Kuiper and McShay for what, 15 years. And then in the last 3 or 4 years, they brought in the guy Matt Miller, and now they brought in the guy Jordan Reed. Like, I don't know, like, there are just certain things that, like, that you will get the exception, the budget exception for, that will say, you know what, we put in this special requisition, it only can be for, like, draft or NFL, really. Like, I don't know, like anything NFL, in particular the draft. But anything else, I don't think they're adding anything. And I feel that, like, I don't, this shows, and I mean, we saw this week. I mean, we're in the middle of NBA playoff season. Aaron Rodgers gets traded, and you know what? Everybody, and I mean everybody, is talking about the NFL in like almost a nanosecond.
And this was a trade that, you know, Aaron Rodgers said, "Yo, I'm going to the Jets."
We saw coming weeks ago.
He's like, "Oh," he said like more than a month ago. He's like, "Yo, I want to go to the Jets. It's going to be the Jets." Everybody knew it was going to be the Jets. We just didn't know the compensation. And now we finally got the compensation. And then now, like you said, the whole world explodes because the thing we already knew a month ago officially happened earlier this week. But I think the great thing about the draft, and especially the NFL draft, is that, again, all of us, you, me included, you know, think that we're GMs in our own mind. Like, we think that we can kind of put together and craft teams, like in our own, you know, universal mode, if you will, of the NFL. And, you know, so those of us who think this way, do what I did this week. Hop on YouTube, hop on some other like Vimeo or whatever bootleg video site you have. Watch a couple clips, and all of a sudden we got guys. We got our guys that we like, that we're married to, that we're in love with. Who is your guy for the Eagles at 10? Who is your guy?
It's not gonna like no. All right, now we gotta offer some assumptions. Do we assume that there will be no trade up or down?
Let's assume that there is no trade up. There's no trade down, and let's assume no other team trades out. And the teams do what you think would reasonably do.
Yep.
So again, in a reasonable world with no trades whatsoever, the board looks how you think it probably look at 10. Who is your guy? Who is the guy that you are willing to bang the table for at 10?
Peter Skoronski.
Ooh, I like this. Now, Peter Skoronski, for those who don't know, offensive lineman from Northwestern. Was a tackle at Northwestern, but projects to a guard in the pros. 6'4", 313 pounds. I think it was NFL.com said his NFL comparison or his player comparison is Zach Martin, which again, I'll take that every day of the week. Why is Peter Skoronski your guy at 10?
I think I've gone back and forth with this. I feel that, I don't know, like people talk about luxury picks and like, I don't know. For me, the 10th pick in the draft is not a luxury. That's almost like that is a have to hit and preferably day one-ish contributor pick. And I feel that like Skoronski can probably step in and be like, I don't know, in competition with Cam Jurgens. I thought about this on the train because I just think too much on the train because I just want to get off of it. Like, I don't know, like, is this a good thing that the Eagles keep drafting for the future? Like, no, I guess, is that a good thing where, like, this is a team that really doesn't have these immediate holes? And we're doing a lot of projecting. I mean, we see some guys, like, I don't know, getting Nolan Smith, who really isn't a finished product in the least. I feel like he's a little more upside-y. Mm-hmm. But, like, but he's not going to get a lot of day one snap. Are we okay with them drafting for the future with this pick?
Yeah, I that's a good question because I kind of go back and forth on this. Because my pick at 10, because I don't think Skoronski is going to be there. I think the Bears take him at 9. So my pick at 10 out of the guys, again, assuming they don't trade up, trade down or whatever, my pick at 10 is probably Nolan Smith. But that kind of goes against the whole, you know, draft a guy at – because, again, he's a guy at 10. You would think that he would make an immediate impact. Nolan Smith's probably not going to get a whole bunch of snaps this year, you know, if they draft him at 10. But am I okay with that? I think I am. I mean, I think, again, given
you
everything
know what?
Else, yes.
I saw something else. What is your on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 mm-hmm. being I trust him with my life, what is your trust factor in Howie Roseman in general? Like, and if you want to, like, specify this draft?
That's a good question. That's another good question. All right, let me see.
Thank the train.
So 10 being the highest, I will probably go 8.5.
Okay.
But it's more, you know what? I don't know if that's fair because I don't know if it's more that I don't trust Howie Roseman. I don't trust a lot of these guys in this draft. Like, so, no. like I just don't love this draft class that much. And so, like, there might be there's a couple guys that could take a 10 where I might, like, look a little funny at. Like, if they take Lucas Van Ness at 10.
Okay. No, no. So
don't trade down. Then I
no, are there. At. Is there a dude that you don't want, period? Whether it's
at all,
a trade.
At all or 10? Or at 10.
So, but are you okay with Lucas Van Nuys, like, at 15?
Yeah, I can live with that.
Okay, okay. But you don't want, like there's nothing that's going to say, but, like, I keep thinking Jalen Reagor, but, like, we were okay with Jalen Reagor at the time. Like right. No, I'm telling you, like, this, I'm trying to think of, like, immediate, we hated it. Like, we hated Tobias Harris 5 and 1.8 immediately.
Yes, immediately. We hated Al Horford. You know, I talked myself into it later, which was wrong.
No, but
wrong
like, move. I don't know. Like, because there haven't been a lot of Eagles draft picks. No, I hated that Clayton Thorson pick. That was terrible. But that was the fourth round. Like, I don't know.
No. That was a terrible pick. And that was a terrible pick.
But, like, do we hate the Marcus Smith pick immediately?
I don't think we did. I don't think we did. I don't think we hated. I'm trying to go back. I'm pulling up the recent drafts. Yeah, Jordan. Well, last year's a wash. Like 2021's a wash too. Yeah, the Jalen Reagor pick. I think we were fine. Like, we didn't love it. I don't think, but we were okay with it. DeAndre Diller pick, I think we were fine with that, right?
Like, yeah, no. Yeah. I think about immediate reaction because I remember seeing that Jets video, that Jets draft montage of the dude and with like the mullet, like when like the people are chanting, "We want Seth, we want Seth," and they get Kyle Brady and he just like puts his hands on his face. Like, when is the last time that like an Eagle, like the immediate reaction to an Eagles pick was double hands in the face?
It's been a while. I think the most, I guess, the most unpopular pick probably of recent-ish memory was probably the Danny Watkins pick. I think Marcus Smith, was okay, but I don't think that was that popular. I think Danny Watkins pick, which is like, why are you taking a 25-year-old fireman or 26, whatever he was? I think that was probably the worst immediate reaction pick.
Yeah, but I don't think it was like, I don't know, let's like go insane. Like, I don't know. Because I feel that the Eagles in general have this philosophy and they've stuck to it for better or worse for the last 10 years. Let's draft defensive linemen and offensive linemen to varying degrees of success. Most of the time it's successful. Sometimes you draft Marcus Smith and Danny Watkins.
And now, in addition to that, the Eagles now have a proclivity to draft guys from the SEC, which I'm always a fan of because SEC players are usually pretty talented. Give me all the Georgia and Alabama guys that you want. So that's why I'm kind of leaning towards, again, like assuming Skaronski's gone, assuming Jalen Carter's gone. I think that at 10, I think the Eagles should take Nolan Smith. But again, like you said, he's not going to be, you know, he's not getting you 45 snaps a game as a rookie, but I'm okay with that. And again, this is not a luxury pick.
So what is your preferred place to draft with that first pick? Do you want to trade up? Trade down or stand pat?
All right, I am assuming that Jalen Carter's gone and Skaronski. All right, I'll stay like this. Carter and Skaronski are the two guys I want the most at 10 that I think that could be there at 10.
Would you trade up for Jalen Carter?
I'd probably trade up.
You got to give up that. I think someone said your two.
Yeah, I'd probably trade. If you said I could trade up two spots and get Jalen Carter at 8, I'd do that. I wouldn't trade up for Skaronski, but I'd trade up for Jalen Carter.
Do you trust? No, I think, like, I don't know. I think Jimmy Kemsky said it. It's like, if, like, I don't know, because I feel that if he slips past 7, I think 7 is, like, if he's there after 7, I think mm-hmm. after 7, and the Eagles don't trade up, because he feels like the ideal guy you would trade up for. SEC guy, teammates with Jordan Davis. If they don't trade up for him, something must be up with his, I don't know, like his off-field stuff where they're just like, no. Like, I don't, because really, like, I don't know, you would think that getting a dude like Jalen Carter in your culture, Jalen Hurts, whatever, like Jordan Davis, I'd be like, and this isn't just some kid smoking weed. Like, I don't know, like, right. He's been through some stuff, and like I'm not saying that like he can't get past it, but this isn't something you're saying. Oh, let's trade up, let's trade an extra one to get him. So I'm interested to see. Like, I don't know, like, because if he goes high, then I feel that like teams are saying, you know what, it was just an unfortunate incident. He pled no contest, whatever. But if he's there at like if the Eagles don't trade up past 7, then I think they just said, you know what. It's not like, now would you trade up for Will Anderson?
How far do I have to trade up? Or what 5. Am I giving up? What am I giving up? Let me ask the question.
No, is Howie the type, because I feel, and I had a lot of revelations on this 47-minute train ride. I feel that they will trade up. I feel like that is, I was convinced about this in an hour. That shows you how I feel about that. That's how convicted I feel about this draft. I feel that they will trade up for a pass rusher. I feel it's going to be either or Carter or Will Anderson. I feel that I feel they're going to trade up 2-7. I feel like, I don't know. I think the Seahawks are kind of that kind of line of demarcation that if Jalen Carter doesn't go to them, someone is trading up other than the Eagles to get Jalen Carter.
Yeah. I think, what was it? Shil Kapadia. I think he had the Eagles trading up to 8. with the Falcons to get Jalen Carter. Yeah, I think that's I think you're right. I think seven's that is that line. I think seven is a line where if Jalen Carter, who is the number one player on Mel Kiper's draft board, again, take that for what it's worth, and probably the number one or top two or three player on just about everybody's draft board in terms of pure talent. So if you can get that guy and just give up, you know, your 10th pick and like your second pick, I mean, that's amazing value. And you said bring him in here, you know, get him in that room with the Brandon Grahams and the Fletcher Coxes and you know the veterans on that team.
And it's not even just the off-field stuff. Like, he didn't look good at his pro day. Right. And like, I don't know, obviously he had some stuff to deal with, but no, I feel like I'll be honest, like, I don't know, he might be a redshirt. Cause I think you have to rebuild this dude. Like, I don't know. And because really, like, I don't know if I think he could be like a situational guy, but and dude, he has to get into football shit because right now he's not.
So we have Jalen Carter, who you said might be a redshirt this year. We have Nolan Smith, who, as we said, you know, probably won't get. Well, he's not going to probably start as your edge rusher this year. You have Peter Skoronski, who, you know, at the very least needs to beat out Cam Jurgens for the guard spot, and he's changing to a new position, for what it's worth. So, you know, three of the guys that we named, you know, for that possibility of the 10 pick probably ain't gonna play a whole lot of snaps this year. Is that okay?
But I think, isn't that more indicative of the team being good? Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like, usually, like, I don't know. It's not. And I think it's because I think a lot of these guys would be day one or would be forced to be day one guys. Like, I don't know. If Jalen Carter gets drafted by the Bears, they're putting him through the gauntlet to say, yo, you're playing week one.
Yeah. Same with Skoronski, same with a lot, you know, Paris Johnson, whatever. Yeah, like the Bears thing. So yeah, so or the even the Texans. I mean, anybody that those two Texans draft picks, like they're starting day one, I would imagine.
No, but like, isn't that a good feeling to know that? Like, I don't know, like because I know, like usually, and I think that people get this twisted. Usually, first round or high first round picks have to start because the team stinks.
They stink. Right.
The Eagles made the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know. Like, we don't. This is not a usual team that is drafting in the top 10. So let's adjust expectations. And I feel that I'm on board with the trading off for Jalen Carter because now with this Hurts extension, and no matter how you account for it and how much you, like, I don't know, put dead cap into it, like how you, it's still $190 million guarantee. Like, I don't know. You need to find blue chip players. Like, they're like, cause I feel that is the way you sustain being a Super Bowl caliber team with a quarterback making $45 million is you forego the depth, but you know what you have? You have elite players at top, and you just kind of fill in the depth with like draft picks. And Jalen Carter has a chance to be the best draft. Like, is there a risk? Like, people are saying, oh, there's no, yeah, there's risk. I mean, for every Warren Sapp, there's Reuben Fosters, there's Alden Smiths. Like, I don't know, but I trust it's not like he's going to the Raiders. So, I will trust that, like, I don't know. He's got a big-time support system. He's got a couple teammates from Georgia. Like, I don't know. He's got, like, vets. I'd say let's roll the dice and try to get a blue-chip player.
So, I will point out that you can get a blue-chip player who can get the majority of the snaps at his position, and who is a better value at that, you know, ranked higher on the board than your spot at 10, who will probably be there at 10. And I'm just saying, the man wants to play with Jalen Hurts. He has asked the question, there's any quarterback in this league you can play with, and you can't say Patrick Mahomes, who would it be? He said Jalen F. Hurts. And of course, that's one B. John Robinson, running back from the University of Texas.
Again, you know what this feels like? No, this feels like where's the dude scream? No, this feels like 1999 all over again. This is Ricky Williams all over again.
Are you completely and utterly against B. John Robinson? Because that's his name now. B. John Robinson at 10 for the Eagles.
I would almost. I think if you have, because you know there was that goofy rumor about Derrick Henry, and like I don't know what you'd have to give up for Derrick Henry. Maybe like a third round pick. I would almost rather give up a third round pick and pay Derrick Henry $10 million than draft. I don't know, I have found a sports discussion worse than Embiid Jokic MVP discourse. You know what it is? It's running back in the drafting a running back high in the NFL draft, because people I know people are like a little PO'd for the running backs because their positions are just devalued out of the wazoo. It's life. I'm sorry. I don't know. Like, we can't put 1994 back in the genie bottle and Emmett Smith is going in the 15th of the Bears. No, it's not anymore. And if you look at the list of running backs that have gone high, the team's success hasn't correlated, period. I don't know. And I don't know how, you're going to draft the guy that high, and then in 4 years you're going to, you will have to cringe and give this guy, if Bijan Robinson is as good as advertised, what's he going to ask for? $15 million a year? You're going to give a running back $15 million a year? With your quarterback making – no, so, I'm trying to think of a real-life equivalent of paying a lot of money or using a lot of resources to buy something, but then in 4 years saying, yeah, I'm not going to want it anymore. It's not
– People do it all the time with cars. I'm just saying. People do it all the time with cars, you know?
No, but when you have to pay $5 million for a house, that's not a smart thing to do.
All right, let me, and we won't belabor this because we talked about it a lot last week. But let me just throw this scenario out there, and I'll dovetail off the scenario you put out there. You have to pick one. All right, you draft Bijan Robinson at 10, or you trade your high second round pick to either Tennessee or the Chargers, whoever you want, and sign Eckler or Henry, whoever you want, to 4 and 50. So you gotta give those guys money, or you draft Bijan Robinson at 10. What do you do?
You know what? It's crazy. I would rather do the alternative. I'd rather trade the.
Okay.
I trade the pick.
I don't think I would disagree with you. I think I would probably do that too.
You know, if you just break down the top 10 picks, I don't know. That's where you the economic savings that you would get from. I don't know, just drafting an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman with that pick versus a running back. It's just, I don't know. And I understand that the Eagles don't have, a lot of holes. And I know they rush for 3,000 yards, like Orlovsky said. I'm telling you, it is, other than giving a John Collins, Tobias Harris type a max contract, that's the second commandment. That's the second sports commandment. Thou shall not draft a running back. In the NFL draft ever. If you ask me, would I either you have to draft Bijan Robinson or never draft a running back in the first five rounds, I'll say, you know what? I'll go undrafted. Oh, I'll go Raheem Mostert for the rest of my life.
You can't Isaiah Pacheco your way all the time.
Yes,
for the rest
you of can life. Because the Chiefs did.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. All right. We're not gonna have this discussion. But all right, so let's put our prediction/post-prediction, since this airs on Saturday. Let's put them out there. Day one of the NFL draft, who are the newest members of the Philadelphia Eagles? Give me both. If they make two picks, give me both picks. If they make one pick.
There will only be one pick, okay. And his name will be Jalen Carter.
I like it. I will say there will be two picks. I'm not very confident about this because, again, Skowronski would be my guy, but I think he goes in 9. I will say there are two picks, Nolan Smith and Brian Branch, safety from Alabama.
You know what? If you ask me what my – I think the Jalen Carter thing is what I think they'll do. But my preferred route would be yours. Because Nolan Smith fits that kind of pass rusher they like. Because at some point you're going to have to not have one of either Reddick or Josh Sweat. And even if Nolan Smith isn't a finished product or needs some seasoning, just be a very situational guy in year one and let him take over year two. I'm fine with that. And Brian Branch – is and one just keep going. I mean you waited 20 years to draft SEC Bama guys. Let's keep drafting them, baby. And I feel like Brian Branch is your day one guy. He will be the day one guy.
Yeah, I think Brian Branch is your plug and play. Like decent, you know, decent floor, like decent ceiling, or like, I guess high floor, decent ceiling. Like, he's not gonna be a superstar, I don't think, ever, but I think he's gonna be like, he'll be a nice solid safety for you for, you know, as long as you want him here. And again, you can do a lot worse than that at 30.
But with DBs like quarterbacks with Slay, Bradbury, right, and Maddox, right, do you need a superstar? Don't you need a better Reed Blankenship?
Yeah. Yeah, just need a consistent Reed Blankenship who can cover, who has good football instincts, again, like, which I think Blankenship does, but I think Branch is better. Yeah, like, I think that's all you kind of need, and you can kind of get away with that at 30. And again, you have your immediate starter in Brian Branch, and you got your guy who can kind of get it work in the mix, you know, with Nolan Smith. So I that's what I think the Eagles will do on Thursday, or did do on Thursday. Really quick before we move on from the NFL stuff, I saw the Commanders decline the fifth-year option on Chase Young. Any interest out of you? No. from Chase Young? Okay, that's fair. He's, because he's hurt a lot.
Yeah, no, I don't like, and but we, I already see it. The Swami already sees it. He's gonna be in, like, I don't know, revenge mode. He'll get 15 sacks. I mean, like, he reminds me a lot of Clowney, and like, I don't know, like, just an absolute freak talent. And you know what? I feel like, I don't know, like, this, because Richard Sherman, like, I don't know, like, brought up like a like, it was a decent point. He said that, like, I don't know, like, NFL teams, like, I don't know, like, focus too much on, like, the measurables, and they should have the draft in February because they do too much, like, kind of over-analysis. And I think about it, like, if you're a GM, and obviously the tape is important, but you know who had good tape? Jay Jaw. He had good tape. Like, no, I feel that you can't just, I don't know, disregard the measurables and the free component. Like, I mean, cause isn't this why Anthony, like, cause isn't this why Anthony Richardson, like, I don't, like, I know these guys get you fired, but I feel those guys are the ultimate lottery ticket. It's like, how much of the freak element do you consider when you're drafting a guy in the first round anyway?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, certain guys, but Chase Young was more than just a freak stuff. I mean, like Chase Young did it against big time talent. So, like, he was kind of like, in his scenario, I think it's just an injury thing. But yeah, you have to kind of look at that, especially if you're, you know, I mean, to be honest, if you're a GM that needs to hit a home run, that's when you go to the Anthony Richardson type of guys, the guys who can, you know, be that ultimate lottery ticket, because you need to hit a home run, and you need to hit a home run. You know, you can easily hit a home run if you find that good quarterback who can be that franchise kind of guy. So I understand why people switch, because we see it all the time. People swing and miss the most on quarterbacks, because yeah, those are the ultimate guys. Like, if they're good, they're great. If they're terrible, then you just set yourself back through, well, I was gonna say 3 years, but like, looks like Tennessee's already moving on from Malik Willis, who they drafted an hour ago, which is crazy. So yeah, so like, so to answer your question, I think GMs who need to make a hit are probably more inclined to
GMs under pressure. GMs, yeah, under pressure. Yeah. But a Howie, like, doesn't need to really, right, and I feel that, like, how many freak element guys have the Eagles really? I don't really think they've drafted many. No, I think Jordan Davis has a little freak element because he's so
big. Yeah.
But like, Devontae Smith ain't got no freak element. Jalen Hurts ain't got no freak element.
Yeah, no, Jalen Hurts didn't really have, you know, the freak. I mean, he turned into a freak, but he didn't have the freak. Miles Sanders clearly has the freak element, but they got away from him.
No, you know what a freak element, like a guy like Cam Newton. Cam Newton, yeah, like, six, like, no. And Josh Allen, no, like, Josh Allen is the perfect example of drafting for freak element. And, right, and look what happens. You get a franchise quarterback. But sometimes you draft Paxton Lynch. Or, right, you draft, like, I don't know, like I don't know. Because, I mean, how many freaky, like, DNs have gotten drafted just based on, like, I don't know, who's that dude? Like, there have been so many DNs that just – that look chiseled, like 6'6", 280. And like, I don't know, they run like 4'5". You know what they can't do? They can't get past a block.
But but to your point though, like some people kind of shy away from those freaky guys, i.e. DK Metcalf, because they, yeah, just think that they're just freaky guys and just don't.
No, this is why the draft is the most it feels like the most intriguing thing in sports, because there are so many elements that, like, because I feel the NBA draft, people usually know who's good and not good. Like, right, I don't know. Like, but like with the NFL, man, there are just so many elements that contribute into whether a player is successful. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel that, like, if Carmelo Anthony went to another team, he'd still be a stud. Or right. if Devin Booker didn't get drafted by the Suns, he'd be good. But a lot of these guys, like, a lot of their success is predicated on where they get picked.
One of those guys, I was looking back at the history of DNs. One of those guys, freak element guys, Deion Jordan from Oregon.
Yes, that's Deion. No, and there was a dude that got drafted by the Jets. Vernon Goldston. The dude looked like out of a bodybuilder mag. He went to Ohio State. Like, I don't know. It's not like he went to, like, Podunk. And dude couldn't, like, I don't know. But Deion Jordan is he's a freakily. He's the poster boy for freakily.
Man, it's the prototype freak athlete who just did not pan out. Drafted third overall by
Ex-Eagle Deion Jordan. I don't think he did.
I'm not sure. I know there were some rumors. I know there were rumors at a time that he might come here. I don't think it ever happened. But Deion Jordan absolutely on that freak level. Do you have any thoughts on Aaron Rodgers? I'm kind of torn on whether or not I think this matters a lot. Because the AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. The Jets are really good. Yeah.
No, the Jets, I mean, people are like, I don't know, ripping Jets fans for being, like, excited. I'm like, this is the best quarterback they've had since, like, Sanchez. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like this is, I'm telling you, this would be like if the Browns didn't get a rapist for a quarterback. Like, I don't know, like, because they can't even get excited for their quarterback. And that's the best quarterback they've had in, like, 50 years.
Yeah, I think the best quarterback season they've ever had, in terms of passer rating, was one of those Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes, their best quarterback season was from a journeyman.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're a Jets fan, you should be over the moon. Like, you should be like those Knicks fans were on 7th Avenue blocking traffic.
No, and like, I don't know. Sorry to, like, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Just a segue. You're right, man, dude. Knicks fans bring juice to the NBA. They do. I mean, they are wacky as heck, but you know what? The NBA, like, because somehow Adam Silver might look into a very good ratings type, like, ratings wise, a very good next couple rounds. You'll probably get LeBron versus Steph. And a potential either Durant. Because, I mean, just fix it so Jokic doesn't get in because no one cares about him. Like, I know that you either get Durant versus Curry or Durant versus LeBron. You get the Knicks. Like, come on. How many random people that haven't tuned into the NBA in years are going to say, you know what, let's put on the game because I haven't seen the Knicks in a while?
You get the Knicks probably playing Miami. Again, Miami's not a fan favorite, but again, you got a nice little Knicks Miami series, which should be interesting, you know, given everything.
Nostalgia. No, like, yeah. I mean, how many videos are you gonna see of Jeff Van Gundy holding on to, like, Alonzo Mourning's leg?
Yeah, and then you're probably gonna get, you know, Boston Philly. Again, the Boston Philly matchup rivalry goes back years. So you're right. Like, this is probably gonna look into a pretty interesting situation, but I'm telling you, man, the Knicks. If Sixers fans, if me and you and like 5,000 other people went outside and stopped traffic on Broad Street after we went up 3-1 on the Cleveland Cavaliers, New York fans would destroy us. They would call us the most pathetic people in the history of the world. But they're the first ones running out in traffic when they go up 3-1 on the Cavaliers in a first round series. It's like, come on, man. Really?
No, but like, I'll be honest, I kind of don't blame them. Because they've been bad for a long time. Yeah, they've been irrelevant for a very, very, very long time. I can't imagine what happens if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, because I don't want to live in a world where the New York Knicks, like the Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson-led Knicks, get to more conference finals than Joel Embiid.
And it's not impossible because of the news we heard earlier this week. Joel Embiid out with a sprained LCL. According to reports, he has a 50% chance that he'll be good for game one versus whoever the Sixers face. Probably Boston, but we won't know until that series with Atlanta's done. It's currently 3-2 as we're recording this. The Sixers did sweep the Nets in the first round. Sans Joel Embiid for game four. Excellent game out of B-ball, Paul. He went crazy, 15 rebounds, double-double out of him. Excellent Tobias Harris game out of him. Boston, of course, as I mentioned, struggling with Atlanta. Lost game five in Atlanta the other night. So I guess my question to you, I'm sorry, Gosling and Five in Boston the other night. My question to you, and I know what the answer is, but I have to ask the question because I asked the question last week and I'll ask it again. What you've seen from the Boston Celtics, does it give you any reason to believe that the Sixers, with a healthy Joel Embiid, can pull off an upset?
But he's not going to be healthy.
Let's use the magic wand for a second and assume.
Okay. All right.
Healthy Joel Embiid. No brace Joel Embiid. Let's assume.
Do we just ignore that James Harden just couldn't get past anybody?
He got past.
Apparently, like, I don't know, forgot. Like, I don't know. I guess that mid-range game, just no more. Like, no, he can't make layup. No, like, I think someone said it perfectly. The Sixers' weakness is the Celtics' strength. That really comes down to it. Like, I don't know. And what the Hawks have that's giving the Celtics problems, and other fact, I don't think they have a killer instinct. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't know. I think they're the most talented team in the NBA and probably got the most depth, but I don't know. They can't close teams out. Trae Young, they have a shot creator that is giving every guy that defends him fits. Who on the Sixers can do that consistently? They don't have it.
No. And you and I talked about this earlier this week. It's like a lot of playoff. I mean, we saw it in that game, in that game five. We saw it we've seen it in the Kings Warriors series. You know, we've seen it basically in every series.
We've seen it for the last 39 years. Like, this is what I don't know. Like, and this is what I don't think gets discussed often is like the roster construction of the Sixers. They have just ignored, like, I don't know, like, they have relied too much on, like, I don't know, this, like, pace of, like, I don't know, 3-and-D guys. You know what 3-and-D guys can't do? They can't create shots. And, like, I don't know, they're hell-bent on doing this, like, MB down low thing. But you see it, Roy, like, it's just easy to double team and to kind of disrupt the offense if it's a big man in the post. It's a little harder to do with Jokic because he's a ball handler. But, right. Like, I don't know. This is – and I don't know how many times, like, we see – like, I don't know. What are the highlights every night? Dudes making shots. Dudes making shots over dudes. And, like, I don't know. Like I don't know. Like, it's been – and the Sixers, unfortunately, haven't had many – like, Tyrese Maxey's probably the best shot creator they have had in the Embiid era.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Maybe Jimmy.
Oh yeah, no, Jimmy for four months, and Tyrese Maxey. This is crazy. Yeah. Like, I don't like, and this is what's gonna, like, be the eulogy of this era is through all the picks and all the cap space, they could not find a half passable Robin. They couldn't. And they got Harden too late. Like, I don't know. He's a fine regular season player. He is. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't watch it. But you see, he's not a 16-game player anymore. And it's unfortunate because they've got a couple now. They've got a PJ Tucker. Because right. You see the impact he makes. I mean, like, those extra possessions are points, period.
Yeah, the lack of a good James Harden really flies in the face of the 2-1-1 theory, which was popularized by Justin Tinsley. You got to have that second dude who's going to get you one. Like, I think we talked about this last week. I was like, or maybe 2 weeks ago. I was like, Embiid will get you two, Harden will get you one, and Rando Guy will get you another one. And you asked me before, I was like, is James Harden going to get you one? I think I might have said, I'm not sure, or maybe, or I don't know, probably. I might have said maybe against the Nets. I don't have any faith in him getting you that one against
so
the Nets.
Like, I feel like, I don't know. You know who I can think win you a game is Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, well, he's like, the guy. Because, like, he won, like, you two last series.
And yeah, then Tobias won
you one, and then the team won you.
But I don't trust Tobias Harris. Like, I don't know. Like, sorry. Closing out a series against the Nets doesn't ignore 4 years of just mid. No, I know. And it sucks because, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like, I don't know. I know the injuries, but I feel they're just always late. Like, I don't know. They got James Harden late. They waited too long to trade Ben Simmons. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just missteps. And this is an organizational thing. It's not like, I don't know. They just and it crosses regimes. This isn't just a Elton Brand thing. like Daryl Morey has been here. Like, I don't know, like, but I think Daryl Morey trusted his dude too much. I mean, like, he thought that, like, I don't know, he'd be able to turn back the clock when necessary. You know what? It's not necessary. He can't. Period.
No, it is necessary. He just can't do it. It's very necessary.
Yeah, no, I hope people aren't waiting, because it's not happening, dude. Like,
yeah, I think we are in agreement with that. All right, we have about 14 minutes or so left to go, which is just enough time to get into our version of the draft, the WWE draft, the Broad Street Line version of the draft. So we have about 30 seconds of picks, so we'll kind of get through this. We're going to do 12 rounds, ladies and gentlemen. The only rules that we have here, we both must draft at least two male superstars, two female superstars, and two tag teams, and everything else kind of goes, you know, by the, you know, as it is. Everybody who's a tag team now is a tag team. So again, you can draft the tag team and split them up later if you want to. Like, that's fine.
I need clarification. Does the Judgment Day count as a tag team?
You pick two of them.
Okay.
Pick two members of the Judgment Day. That's a little. I'll let it slide because I didn't do that. I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know what you want to do about the special guys, like the randos, the John Cena's, the Logan Pauls. I think we could just kind of keep them off to the side. Unless you want to bring them in?
I think we get a commissioner exception. At the end.
Okay, yeah. That's fair. Yeah, at the end, we will each have a commissioner selection pick for one of the specials, the part-timers, if you will. But I included Brock on the full-time-ish list because he's wrestling in a couple of weeks. So I think he's on the full-time list for me. I think that's fair.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So no, it's
everybody's health, and everybody's healthy for this exercise. So again, so we'll kind of get through this, maybe 30 seconds or so a pick.
I will give you.
Oh, you're going to give me the first pick?
Yes, I will give you the first pick.
I was going to give you the first pick. We will do a snake draft, by the way. So I will have the first pick. You have the next two, and then we'll just kind of snake it around. All right, so you're gonna give me the first pick. I'm gonna take the big dog himself. This is his yard. It's Roman Reigns. I don't have to explain that. Roman Reigns is my number one pick. So there it is. Hey, you have
that. But this means I get the new belt.
You get the new belt, and you got the next two picks. Who you got?
Okay, I'm gonna go Cody, and Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. Those are literally the next two guys on my board, which, again, I'm mad at. That's fine. You can't, like, it's really hard to beat that as a core duo in the new era, the new brand, the Chris Domingo brand. Everybody's healthy for this exercise, by the way. So everybody that's on the shelf, everybody's 100% healthy. I will go. See, I expected to have the second and third picks. And I'm going to go Brock Lesnar with my next pick. And then with the third selection, I'm going to get the anchor of my female brand. I will go Bianca Belair.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Looks like I have to scoop up. All right. So by default, I will draft Rhea Ripley. Okay. So, like, Rhea, I don't know. So, and for my next and for the second pick, I'm gonna get a guy who's gonna challenge Seth Rollins for the belt at Night of Champions.
Night of Champions
in Saudi Arabia. Finn Balor.
Finn Balor. All right, so Finn Balor is your guy. All right, so you got Balor there. I will go. I got Reigns, so I kind of feel obligated-ish to go Usos at this point.
I think you have to.
Yeah, I'm going to go Usos at this point. And then, very interesting pick right here. I need another big, meaty man slapping meat. So we're going to go the current IC champion, Gunther.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. That's a good pick.
Gunther. All right, what do you got?
All right. You know what? I'm going to go for my first tag team. I'm going to go. Because I need to keep the Judgment Day, because somehow I have no idea. They've garnered a lot of momentum, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. They're
really over. Yeah.
They're leading shows. I mean, like, Priest is in a main event. I mean, go figure. But I feel this is what happens when you give a faction a chance, where you just, because they were falling flat for a long time. So I'm gonna get Damian Priest and Dom. That'll be my tag team. And okay. I will get for another woman, I will get, because we need a workhorse. We need, like, I don't know, because I feel I need the, like, on the house shows, I'm gonna draft Liv Morgan.
Ooh, all right. I like Liv. I like, that's a good pick. Now here's the thing. Now Liv's part of a tag team. So if you want to draft Liv and Raquel here, if you
she
can.
Sucks. No, I'm not drafting. Okay. No. It's like I'm the booker. I'm Vince McMahon on a Monday night at 7:49. I'm ripping up the script.
All right. So Liv Morgan as a single wrestler there. All right. So I will draft a woman. I will draft, again, the foil to Bianca Belair. I will go Becky Lynch at this spot, and then I will come back. So let's see. Do I go another big meaty man slapping meat here? Do I go another tag team here? You know what? I'm going to go tag team here. I'm going to go with the Street Profits. I got a little energy. Let's go a little energy. A little Montez Ford. You know, maybe future push down the road action.
All right, but like I don't know, you can always, like, I don't know, split those guys up. So you have your two tag teams. All right. So my next tag. So I'll draft the tag team. I'll draft Kevin, KO, and Sammy. Basically, very for smart. The same reason you draft the Street Profits. And you know what? House shows, because I'm trying to make money on my house shows. But by the way, I just, like, I've gotten 100 on my other video game. So I am moving on to WWE this weekend, or at some point this weekend, or Monday. So he's always an attraction. I'm going to go Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley. Ooh, I like that. All right. So Bobby Lashley is your pick here to start things. So we are both at, what, 8 picks? Yeah, we both have 8 picks, right? No, you have 8, I have 7. Yeah. All right, so Bobby Lashley. So I have Reigns, Lesnar, I have 2 women, I got a couple of tag teams. I've always had a special place in my heart for this guy. I know he didn't have a whole lot more years left in the tank, but I want to see one more run out of this man. I will go Randy Orton.
Oh, man.
And then after Randy, Let's see. You know what? I will. This is harder than I thought it's gonna be, because there's so many different ways you can go with this. I'm gonna go with, you know, I'm gonna just let's go with the queen herself, Charlotte Flair. Let's go, Charlotte.
Oh wow! Flair. Oh man, you're dominating my women's division right now. Right, you know what? All right, so I'm gonna go for my next pick. I have to draft a woman because my women's league is lacking right now. I'm going to draft Asuka.
Asuka, nice.
And I feel I need, like, with all the established guys, I need a guy I need to make. And this is a guy that I have been convinced that he will be the next quote unquote megastar. L.A. Knight.
Oh man, L.A. Knight. Stealing LA Knight. We might have to have a trade in the draft of the draft.
LA Knight trade. I'm telling you, when you've got a crowd in Toledo, Ohio, or Fort Wayne, Indiana, wherever the hell they were last weekend, say, yeah. Like, I mean, this isn't just, like, I don't know. I thought it was an internet thing. Apparently, it's not.
No, this is a thing, man. This was a thing. Like, this dude, like, I'm telling you, I was there at Raw 30, and the man was super, like, they put him in a segment with the Taker, I mean, like, the man is super over with the crowd, and the man, he hasn't won a match in, like, months, but the fans eat it up. LA Knight's good. Yeah, we might have to, like, a post-draft trade for LA Knight coming up. You raise a good point, like, because there's probably need to take a guy who I need to make. At this point,
dude, I think we could put NXT guys on the table.
Oh yeah, so NXT guys are on the table here too. So for now, I am going to take a guy who I can push to that next level. I will go Austin Theory in this spot. So I got Austin Theory here at this spot, and then I'm going to come back. Got a couple tag teams. Do I want another tag team? Yeah, why not? Let's get another tag team. Let me get the New Day. Fans love the New Day, and you can split them up as well. So we got New Day. All right. So there you go. So what you got?
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna tag team with that because I forgot about these guys. And like, no, I like having tag teams that you could split up, but
right.
They kind of these guys kind of make chicken salad out of anything people get, like whoever gives them. I'm going to go the Alpha Academy.
I like them. Yeah, no. Chad Gable's going to be a star.
Dude, they made this. I'm telling, like, remember when Otis was part of that Heavy Machinery tag team and no one gave a crap about Tucker? Otis does, like, they do this thing with the Maximum Models. Like, I mean, like, I'm telling you, there's just something goofy about him that, like, I don't know, is endearing. And he kind of knows he's big and fat. Like, I don't know. Like,
they gave him the briefcase. He had to give it up, but they gave him the briefcase. Like, they know there's something there with Otis if they just figure it all out.
All right. And I'm going to get another, this is going to be my female that I'm going to hype up.
This is your last regular pick, by the way.
Yeah. And I feel that, like, I don't know, she's got some juice. And I think once they figure out, like, a role for her, I think she'll be very good. I'm going to go Chelsea Green.
Ooh, you know what? I've the last few weeks I've been sold on Chelsea Green. There's something there.
No. Like she's playing, like, I think she kind of does, like, a Karen. Like, I don't know. And it's great. Like, I don't know. Like, and you just, like a lot, like you said with LA Knight, if you're really good, no one cares about the wins or losses. Eventually, you need the win. But, like, I don't know, to get your character over, same thing with Mustafa Ali. Like, I don't know. Like, I think get the character over, then you win. But, like, I don't know. Like, does anyone care that LA Knight loses?
No, it doesn't matter. Like, again, he's over. People love him. He puts on good matches. Like, he's an entertaining dude who knows his role and plays his role well. And he clowns, you know, the trash tag teams in the back. By the way, they were not on my big board, by the way. So I will go with my final regular pick. I will go, you need a guy on house shows. You need a guy who can be your wild card guy. You can throw him in the main event scene. You can throw him in the IC scene. It doesn't matter. Loved his work for years. I will go with The Miz with my last pick here.
Oh, man. Recently reconciled with Phil Brooks.
Yes, yeah. yes. Him and Phil hugged it out, apparently.
Because apparently, like, CM Punk was just chilling at his house. Like, you know what? I need to make up with The Miz. So let me holler at Tamina. Because apparently Tamina's friends with everybody. Like, okay. It's like, yo, Tamina, let's broker this. So I'm just going to, like, say, AJ, I'm gonna leave the house for a couple of hours and go. And, like, no, people said, oh, this is like Ricky Starks going, this is not like any old wrestler. Like, I don't know, just checking up to, like, check on his friends. Dude, half the people in the back probably hate him.
Yeah, they can't stand him. And the man literally is on suspension, like indefinite suspension from the competitor. Yeah, this is not it. All right, so we have maybe like a minute or so left. Who is your, you can go first. Who is your special guy, your random one-off guy?
Oh, I'm going to go because I've been crunching the Nielsen numbers up. And you know what? This dude, and you know, I don't even know if he's going to say yes. But I hold a spot in this for that special time in March 2024 when I ask him, away from the XFL, sir, can you do one match? And if he says no, then I don't have a spot. But this is the freak DN theory.
This is Deion Jordan.
Yes.
Deion Jordan.
The Rock.
Yeah, so The Rock is just, that's a really good pick. Because, again, you can blow the roof off of that. With that, I will go, in the interest of time, I will go with the guy who is apparently an Instagram TikTok sensation who is amazing in the ring, even though he's been there an hour and a half. I will go Logan Paul, with my rando, never there, but there sometimes pick. These are really good rosters. Like, I actually kind of like both of these rosters. Like, yeah, like, you kind of stole KO and Zayn from me. And LA Knight. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Like that dude can be a star, but like Cody, Seth, Finn, you know, Camp, Sami Zayn, KO, like LA Knight, like that's a strong roster. That's a
And I think, like, I don't know, like, I think people don't realize it's like, you know why, like, I don't know, like, WWE is hot? Because the storylines are good. Because usually, like, the storylines just suck for months. And you've got it, like, obviously you got the Bloodline, that's dope, but, like, you've got compelling ones. Like, people tune in every week for Cody Rhodes, period.
Yeah, no, Cody Rhodes moves the needle. Apparently Bad Bunny moves the needle. So like certain guys move the needle, but no, this is good. I might actually like type this up and like throw this on a poll on Twitter or something.
No, you know what? This gave me inspiration for when I start my Universe mode. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, this is a pretty cool exercise. Hopefully the WWE gets it right when they do their stuff this weekend. But that's it for us on this show. Same bad time, same bad channel next week on 106.5 FM, WPPM, LP Philadelphia. But until then, we are out of here. Mr. Domingo, take us out, please.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you guys.